Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 142 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And allegedly I'm Sarah, but I'm just really sick and tired of recording separately. But I get it.
you're not wrong. As I'm looking at the microphones on this table and the empty seats, which one, that's super sad. But Megan's has now drooped and looks very alone.
Poor microphone.
Tell it I miss it.
Megan misses you.
There's a song about empty chairs and empty tables, although it's not really an empty table, but
that's true. True.
So this episode is sponsored by Robin Hart. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing the first half of Chapter 14 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Percy and Padfoot. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to boogie your way through the details.
Boogie!
Boogie, woogie, woogie. All right, so before we begin, we have some weekly profit news.
Okay. Did everybody see the new Lego sets?
Yep. Yes. We got about a million requests to put that into our Facebook group, which I appreciate every single one of them. But people were like, that day that it dropped, everybody was like, post a Swish and Flick Facebook group.
Yeah.
Wait, there's more than one?
Oh, yeah.
You just told me about there's the girl.
You didn't look yourself? Have you been on
the internet? I relied on my wife to say, hey, did you see the new Lego set? They're coming out with the Burrow. And so, I said, whoa, that's cool, man. And that was the end of the conversation.
Because I thought that was the coolest one. So I was like, ooh, look at the Burrow. I was like looking at them all, but like that one is super awesome. It's also one of the bigger sets. And I'm like an accomplished Lego master now. So I can't do like really? The 40 piece sets anymore.
Isn't there a TV show?
What do they call them? What do they call them in the Lego movie?
Master Builders.
Yeah, there's a new, I don't know. Yeah, Master Builders. Yeah,
Master Builders.
I think that's what the show was called. Is it the guy that has Batman's voice?
Yeah. Will Arnett.
Oh my god.
Also known as Job Blues, aka Gob sometimes. I don't care for Job. Arrested Development fans will get this.
So there's a super cute Hedwig Lego that I need. It's like just a little figurine. I think it's pretty small.
That's cute.
But it's cool. And then there is also the Room of Requirement, which is pretty neat.
Ooh, it comes with Patronus. Is that Luna?
Yes.
Nice.
Where are her earrings?
Good question. Why doesn't it have pictures of all of them? But I do know that there's also the burrow. There's also Privet Drive, which looks legit.
What?
And
legit.
The Astronomy Tower.
Hmm.
All right. So, yeah, the Astronomy Tower and the burrow are, like, the bigger sets. And then, like, Privet Drive. So, I guess there was an old Privet Drive one that came out, like, many years ago. But this one is much more detailed and larger, so people are pretty excited about it. And everybody thought that these Lego sets were going to be purely just from movie 6 and 5. But they threw in Privet Drive, which surprised everybody, and it's a Chamber of Secrets Privet Drive, because it comes with the Fort Anglia.
Are there bars on the window?
I think so.
Oh my god.
And, there needs to be.
And then the Fort Anglia you get to build, like a bigger version of it than the one in the big castle.
The one in the big castle is like a speck.
It's like so teeny tiny.
Surprised they haven't lost
it. Yeah. It's super cool. I want to get a couple. We'll see. They're expensive, but they're so fun.
They are really fun.
They're so fun. I get sucked in, man.
Meg will disappear for a week. And she comes out and she's like, check out this gigantic thing I built.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's one that's the Forbidden Forest and it comes with Grop.
Oh, Lord. Does you it build look better Grop. Than the movie? Yeah.
But it also wow. comes with centaurs, which is pretty cool.
You're welcome.
Oh, just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Is it better than the movie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, and then also some sad news for people who are not in our Facebook group, just so that everybody knows. The Wizardly World of Kent is officially canceled this summer.
No news I was if expecting they're gonna do it some other time or what.
They are not. No, there is news. They are not postponing it. It is just canceled for this year. They are hoping to be able to do it again next summer, because they're going to keep all... It said in the statement that they're going to be keeping all of the props and ideas from this year to use for next year, so...
All right.
God! It, okay. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
It was inevitable. I was still holding out that shred of hope.
I know.
Right?
And it's still just... It just... This really... I mean, it's okay to say that. This really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be a wash. Ugh.
Yeah. I think LeakyCon's gonna get canceled.
I do too, and I hate everything. I'll tell you what, though.
I mean, but realistically, that's what's for the best, because, massive groups of people, there's gonna be people there's gonna be people that don't feel good that are gonna go, or have been around other people, and they're not gonna care, and
they're not gonna wear masks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the greater good, guys, for the greater good.
It's the smartest decision, and we support it. We're just sad about it, so.
Yeah. Okay, here's my thought. If we're allowed to be hanging out with each other by then, let's have a huge party that weekend.
And, do a live stream and stuff?
Let's have a Swish party.
Swish pool party.
I'm busy that weekend.
You're definitely Although, not.
I might actually have to work, so.
Right.
That is my weekend of work.
We're gonna have SwishCon with just the four of us, plus Fozzie Bear.
That works for me.
We'll see.
All right, Katie.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm gonna pull a little John Raffio into this because I've been watching Parks and Rec a lot. It's time for the recap.
We need to watch that show.
Yeah, I need to watch that show because that was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Speaking of that. Tessie, are you guys watching today?
Huh?
You're doing a live episode.
Yeah, well, if we're out of here in 40 minutes, which we're not going to be, I'll record it.
We might talk fast.
Yeah. No, I've been watching it a lot lately, and John Raffio is the best and worst, so it's great.
Yeah.
All right, recap. So, last time, Harry's detention with Umbridge is exactly what you'd imagine, possibly even worse than you could imagine. She's true evil. On top of that, Harry gets yelled at by Angelina Johnson for getting himself in detention in the first place, and he has to miss Ron's tryout for Keeper, which totally sucks. But don't worry, Ron makes it. It's all good.
Spoiler alert!
What?
my god, geez, just throwing those things. Oh wait, no, that's the recap. Do that.
Yeah, what the heck, guys?
Megan and I are like, oh my god.
My god.
Also, this is not a spoiler-free podcast. Spoiler alert, Dumbledore and Voldemort die.
Spoiler.
And Snape. And technically Harry.
That's a spoiler.
And Hedwig.
That's a spoiler.
Nagini is a horcrux.
And Dobby.
Spoiler.
Nagini used to be part of a circus. Whoa.
Whoa. She used to be human.
Spoiler.
It's on Albus Severus. And then he goes on adventures with his friend Scorpius.
What up, Scorpion King?
Scorpion King. We have not turned this episode off yet. Thank you.
Let's just talk about the fact that Harry has three children, James, Albus, and Lily. Can you tell which one's not the favorite?
Oh. Awkward.
Let's talk about a summary.
A summary?
Summary. Wait,
so,
what?
Harry, like, wakes up, as he does every day.
All right.
And he goes and he sits in the common room so he can have a moment of time alone from everyone else because, you know, he's Harry Potter and people want to talk to him. So he's sitting in the common room super early in the morning and he writes a letter to Snuffles to tell him what happened, but also not to tell him what happened, if you get what I mean. Then he goes off to the owlery, which is a hard word for Sasa to say. And he sees Nearly Headless Nick, who warns him about Peeves, and, you know, the cat with opposable thumbs who loves making sailor knots in her free time.
Oh, my God.
Harry has Hedwig take the letter he's written to Sirius, and then, whoa, Cho Chang is there. And they finally can talk. But, you know, they're interrupted by Filch, who's talking about some nonsense about dung bombs.
Not nonsense, man. He knows what he's talking about.
And then they learn things from Hermione because she's reading the prophet, and there's a very serious sighting and things about Sirius Podmore. It's finally Quidditch time. Whoop, 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 whoop. Balls in the air. People on brooms. Woo! Swish, swoosh, swash. Except it's just practice. And so someone's a little bit nervous, especially with the audience they have because they're not nice. And then, you know, Weasleys do what Weasleys do, and Katie Bell has to go to the hospital wing.
Oh my gosh.
That was a beautiful summary.
That was intense. Not to be confused with camping.
Not to be confused with Deathly Hallows.
Okay. Are you ready? Oh, nope.
We talked about something being intense the other day. Because we were doing a thing and I was supposed to not be able to laugh. It cracked me up. I wish I remembered what it was, but it was quite funny. That was the punchline. Intense.
Intense. That's cool. Is everybody ready to rock and or roll or boogie?
Boogie.
Okay. Yep.
So good old Harry Potter is the first person to wake up in his dorm the next morning. He just laid there awake and savored the thought that it was Saturday. And I said, this is an entire mood.
Yes.
Gosh, yeah. I just love it. I know that, like, it's a little bit like Groundhog Day right now, but just knowing that it's like the weekend and my husband doesn't have to work, it's just so good. So I feel this very personally.
Yeah.
The first week of term felt like it had dragged on forever, like one big history of magic.
Ouch.
That description, because I feel like we all are like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
So it's really early. It's just after daybreak. So he starts to head out of the dorm by himself with some parchment and a quill. And I have to tell you that even reading, I didn't do these notes that long ago. It was probably last week. But I am currently listening to Jim Dale read the audiobooks. Order picks up in a couple of chapters. Not to say it's not full of stuff right now. It is, but it's one giant lead up. And when it picks up and it goes, and it's really hard to stop listening. So I am like super far ahead of this right now. And it's it's kind of weird to like go back and be like, oh, okay, I have to like slow myself back down to get to back where we are in the pod.
I feel like we'll be right there with you too, because we just discovered listening to it while we work during the day. So
I loved it.
We'll probably speed through this book real fast.
While you work.
Yep.
Do, 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 do. So Harry makes himself cozy in his favorite armchair by a fire that wasn't there anymore. He should have lit one himself. But he takes notice of the common room, and he notes that it's very nicely cleaned up, including the quote-unquote hats that Hermione has been making, even though he said they what look like woolly bladders.
Yep.
Yeah. Harry makes to start his letter, but he's kind of stuck. He's not really sure how to word it in code because everybody's checking letters right now. And everybody, I mean Umbridge and Filch. So by thinking this way, he kind of goes back to what had happened to him over the summer. And he discovers a new appreciation for Ron and Hermione, because he kind of dogs them about not writing things to him over the summer, but he doesn't understand until now exactly how difficult it is to write in code. So I like that pull back to the beginning of the book, because that kind of gives him a little bit of like forgiveness in a way to them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Not saying that he was holding a grudge or anything, but it's nice to know that that kind of has like sealed itself off and like that's done, and he can kind of like fully let those feelings go.
Right, like I get it more now. I'm on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. He has a lot of things to tell Sirius, and he has questions to ask him, and he really didn't know how he could do this in a way that wouldn't be figured out by someone else. So finally, he's able to get started, and he writes, "Dear Snuffles, hope you're okay. The first week here has been terrible. I'm really glad it's the weekend. We've got a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, Professor Umbridge. She's nearly as nice as your mom. I'm writing this because the thing I wrote to you about last summer happened again last night when I was doing a detention with Umbridge. We're all missing our biggest friend. We hope he'll be back soon. Please write back quickly. Best, Harry."
It's a really good coded letter.
It is a good letter.
Go ahead, Sasa.
I just want everyone to know that I, too, miss their biggest friend. Because you know what? He's the best.
I can't wait till that chapter, though. I enjoy that chapter a lot.
Yeah.
I've listened to it twice now. Like, I went back and I listened to it again after I listened to it, like, the first time. Even though I listened to this book not too long ago when I was listening to... I listened to 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then I started back again on 5. So I've listened to that chapter 3 times pretty recently, and I can wait, but I can't wait. It's going to be a good one. I also really enjoy the part about Sirius's mom.
I know, I love that line.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. It could mean anything.
It's a really sweet thing to say.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Harry read and reread this letter over and over, and he's trying to figure out like if an outsider could be able to figure it out, and he decided that it's good to go. Sirius will understand what he's saying, and he really hopes that he understands the bit particularly about Hagrid.
Aww.
No.
So it takes him a really long time to write such a short letter, so people in the dorms are starting to wake up, and he doesn't want any part of that, so he decides that he's gonna head off to the Owlery to mail his letter. And I honestly, like, I get it, like, he's going through something and he doesn't want to be around people at that moment, and I feel that. So right after he climbs through the portrait hole, he meets up with Nearly Headless Nick, and he gets a bit of a warning. Quote, "I would not go that way if I were you," said Nearly Headless Nick, drifting disconcertingly through the wall just ahead of him as he walked down the passage. Peeves is planning an amusing joke on the next person to pass the bust of Pericles halfway down the corridor. Harry goes, "Does it involve Pericles' falling on top of a person's head?" Harry asked. Funnily enough, it does, said Nearly Headless Nick in a bored voice. Subtlety has never been Peeves' strong suit, and I'm off to try and find the Bloody Baron. He might be able to put a stop to it. See you, Harry. Nearly and I just think that's Nick. Funny. Peeves has, like, no new things to do. He's right? been there so long. He's like, I'm gonna do this joke again. He's probably got a book of, like, jokes that he's already pulled or, like, pranks. So I looked up Pericles. Born the 24th of September, 1541. And I enjoy this. A Swiss... Okay, sorry. Hold on. Was born to a Swiss physician and alchemist, a theologian, and a philosopher of the German Renaissance. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Tiffany, a pioneer. Go on that extra mile.
Sasa wouldn't have it any other way. She'd be like, well, did you look that person up? As a matter of fact, I
don't know
did.
What you're talking about.
So he was a pioneer in several aspects of the, quote, medical revolution in the Renaissance period, emphasizing the value of observation in a combination with received wisdom. He is credited as the father of toxicology. Pericles also has a substantial impact as a prophet or a divineer. Is that how you say that?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Cool. So I thought that was really interesting because it's like a bunch of, like, he did like a bunch of different things. Alchemy, a philosopher.
It's like we're back in the first book.
Yeah. And, you know, like the father of toxicology is really, really cool. And especially with the whole prophet and divination thing. I just think that's really neat. And the picture that this is all from Wikipedia. There's a very nice picture of a balding man. So that's probably what the bust looked like. A balding man.
Oh, that's a nice picture.
That's a nice picture.
I was thinking that. Everybody's donkey.
Yep.
So instead of going that way, Harry goes a longer yet safer route to the Owlery. And the sky outside was a brilliant blue... She's ready. As he walks past the windows, and he knew he would be back on the Quidditch pitch at last.
Ah,
Quidditch, how we barely knew ye fifth year. So something brushes up against his ankles, and of course, it's that two-thumbed cat, Mrs. Norris.
I can't imagine Mrs. Norris brushing up against his ankles, though. That's like a sign of affection.
Unless
that's
she's
a kitty,
like,
kitty Mew Mew thing, you know?
Maybe she wants the attention just for him to look down at her and for her to be like, I got you.
Yeah, with those red eyes.
It's a manipulative
be like,
affection.
Yeah, I'm going to tie you up. I'm going to tie
she
you up with my thumbs.
She doesn't have red eyes.
Meg,
she doesn't.
Up.
She doesn't have red eyes.
She may not have red I'll eyes, but, eyes you, but you know what she does
yellow.
Have? Thumbs.
Oh my God.
You know who's a cool cat and has two thumbs? Mrs. Norris.
Oh, God, she loves doing knots. She plays Cats in the Cradle all the time with her little string.
Oh my God.
She writes long dissertation papers for Filch for his schoolwork to try to be a wizard.
I bet she fills out all of the forms, like for the paperwork for the kids that get in trouble.
She's his secretary. She types like 50 words a minute. She's great.
All right, wow. I'm just going to leave now.
Sure, go ahead.
Bye, Hufflepuff.
I love
so, you.
Anywho,
love
she
you.
Turns her lamp-like yellow eyes on him, and then she took off behind the statue of Wilfred the Wistful. What do we know about Wilfred, you ask? Let me tell you. Wilfred the Wistful was a wizard of an unknown period.
Wow.
Yeah, no. A statue of him is located in Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Mrs. Norris disappears behind the statue when she encounters Harry Potter heading towards the Owlery in 1995.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I
place
know.
Place of history.
It's like we didn't just read that, you know? So... But there is a little bit on the Harry Potter Wikia about the etymology. So the name Wilfred means desiring peace from an old English will desire. And Saint Winifred was a 7th century Anglo-Saxon bishop. The name was rarely used after the Norman conquest, but it was revived in the 19th century. So, there you go for your history lesson there.
Coolio.
Awesome.
Winifred here. Coolio.
Oh, my God.
Wilfred
Coolio.
Harry says to Mrs. Norris, "I'm not doing anything wrong," he calls after her. She had the unmistakable air of a cat that was off to report to her boss. Yet Harry could not see why. He was perfectly entitled to walk up to the owlery on a Saturday morning. And he is right. There is something else happening here. So clearly, Kat's on a mission. Wonder who sent her.
Kat's quote, on a mission.
The sun was high in the sky now when Harry entered the owlery. Glassless windows dazzled his eyes. Thick, silvery beams of sunlight crisscrossed the circular room in which hundreds of owls nestled on rafters, a little restless in the early morning light, some clearly just returned from hunting. The straw-covered floor crunched a little as he stepped across tiny animal bones, craning his neck for a sight of Hedwig. I just like that description of the owlery. It's very nice. And it also makes me wonder, like, so there were once windows there. So I wonder when the owls kind of adopted this tower as their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Did they peck the windows out or did something happen?
I don't know, but I want it to be a really cool story. You know?
Yeah.
So Harry calls for Hedwig to come down and he tells her that the letter says it's for Snuffles, but it's really for Sirius. So magical owls can read then.
That's so cool.
He said that he knows what it's what is written there, but here's what it really means. So I just thought that was pretty cool.
She's so smart. She is.
She's a quality hoot. So, I even said this. So she understands like a quality owl would. Harry wishes her a safe flight, and she takes off to deliver the letter. He watches her until she is just a tiny black speck and then finally vanishes.
Wouldn't she be a tiny white speck?
Not when you're flying.
No, I think once you get far enough away, you don't see.
You're just like a silhouette.
It's just a speck. Yeah. Huh.
I've never watched an owl fly away before.
Science, you know. Google specks and science and see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have another really nice description here for you. Quote, "The treetops of the Forbidden Forest swayed in the light breeze. Harry watched them, savoring the fresh air on his face, thinking about Quidditch later. And then he saw it. A great reptilian winged horse, just like the ones pulling the Hogwarts carriages, with leathery black wings spread wide like a pterodactyl's, rose up out of the trees like a grotesque giant bird. It soared in a great circle and then plunged once more into the trees. The whole thing happened so quickly, Harry could not believe what he had seen, except that his heart was hammering madly. The owlery door opened behind him. He leapt back in shock and, turning quickly, saw Cho Chang holding a letter and a parcel in her hands."
Ooh, Cho Chang.
What up, girl?
Oh, hey, Cho.
Oh, hey, Cho. Hi. Hi. That's what she says. Hi. Okay. Harry automatically says hi, probably super awkwardly, because, you know,
Harry.
And then Cho, quote, breathlessly says hi back. Ooh.
Was it just a really long walk up to the owlery?
Yeah, she's just like, hi.
Hi. That would be me. Like, do you have any water?
Hi. I just walked 5 flights of stairs. Anyway, yeah, I think it's probably a little bit more, lovey-dovey than that.
Ooh.
Maybe. Anyway, Harry's brain seems to have just blocked up. He wants to say something funny or something interesting, but he literally can only think of the Thestral.
We don't know what they're called.
The winged horse.
Thank you.
Reptilian.
Reptilian.
Pterodactyl horse. Jurassic Park. What is wrong with you two?
Oh, we literally just did that at the same time. That's hilarious.
We literally have been text. We text all day, every day. So what do you expect?
True. Oh, God. Okay. Nice day, he said, gesturing to the windows. His insides seemed to shrivel with embarrassment. The weather. He was talking about the weather. But Cho kind of just, like, rolls with it, and she says that it's great Quidditch conditions and asks if Gryffindor has a new keeper yet. And that's whenever she finds out that it's Ron. And she calls him, she's like, oh, the tornado hater? Which I thought was funny.
In his defense, I don't think anyone loves tornadoes.
True. This is true.
True.
I definitely
don't. What
about
tornado chasers?
They probably do love them.
What about the whole movie of Twister?
They're an anomaly. Anomaly.
Doesn't Jason
It almost Thor... sounds like you're like, they live in the Amazon.
I live in an anemone.
All right, kid, don't hurt yourself.
Don't hurt yourself. All right. Where was I? Okay, Cho asks if he is any good, meaning Ron. And Harry's like, yeah, but I missed his tryout because I was in detention. And I think he probably was a little embarrassed having to admit that to her.
And
but
he's a bad boy.
But I like what that turns the conversation into, because then Cho is like, oh, I heard about what happened. Like, you're brave. So she's like, Cho says that that Umbridge woman is
makes me think of
foul.
Pops. Oh, he's the Braves.
He's the Braves.
Brave.
Brave. Putting you in detention just because you told the truth about how he died. Everyone heard about it. It was all over the school. You were really brave standing up to her like that. And I honestly, like, first of all, this is coming from Cho, which is going to mean the world to Harry because he has a major crush on her. But I think in general, had anybody said this to Harry, like, he needs this right now.
Yeah.
He, like, so needed to hear that from somebody right now. And it was just, like, icing on top that it was from Cho, you know? So Harry's insides reinflated so rapidly he felt as though he might actually float a few inches off the dropping strewn floor. How romantic. Who cared about a stupid flying horse? Cho thought he had been really brave. For a moment, he considered accidentally, on purpose, showing her his cut hand as he helped her tie her parcel onto her owl.
That's nothing.
Oh, it's nothing. But then Filch comes wheezing in, Mrs. Norris at his heels, and she mewed hungrily at the owls. Girl,
those owls could probably eat you.
Calm down. They too big for you. But apparently Filch had a tip-off that Harry was placing a massive order for dung bombs, and Harry comes in sassy, arms folded, and is like, from who? Apparently Filch has his sources and wants Harry to hand over whatever he's sending, but sorry, bro, Harry already sent it. It's gone. And then Filch is like, well, how do I know it's not in your pockets? Which just is like, shut up, dude. I mean, come on. But anyway.
Shut up. Dude.
I love sassy Harry in this scene, though. He's so good.
I know.
So, Cho steps in, though, and she stands up for Harry, and she's like, he doesn't have anything. I saw him send it. And Filch is like, you saw him? That's right. I saw him, she said fiercely. Filch finally, you know, goes away. And Harry thanks Cho, whose face is slightly pink, because she didn't actually know if Harry had ordered dung bombs or not. She was just sticking up for him.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. I lost where I was. Oh, she didn't even know if Harry had ordered them or not. She stood up for him. She wonders why Filch thought he had if he hadn't. And Harry wasn't very bothered by it at the moment, though normally he definitely would have been. Because Harry's all about questioning everything, you know what I mean?
What does this connect to?
What do you mean?
Connect Four.
No, like, why did Filch come after him?
I'm assuming...
Because of the...
I'm assuming Umbridge sent Mrs. Norris to follow him.
Oh my god.
And maybe...
She tipped Filch off.
Yeah.
That's so dumb. Oh, to try to get the letter. That's awful.
Yeah, because I bet you Umbridge was... Like, Umbridge honestly was like, I need to know everything he's doing. And if he's going to the Owlery, he could be sending a letter to anybody.
If he's hourly going to the Owlery.
Yeah. Sarah, go ahead.
Two things. Katie, that was the cutest thing I've ever heard because you were shocked that Umbridge would do something like that. Second. I want everyone to say Owlery like 5 times fast.
Oh my
so
god.
Owlery.
Okay, teacher. Get out of here. Owlery. It's hard.
It sounds like a weird chant.
It does.
You do it, Sasa.
No, thank you.
So they leave together and part ways, and he walked on feeling quietly elated. He had managed to have an entire conversation with Cho and not embarrass himself once.
Harry, I relate to this so hard, just on like people I don't feel romantic feelings towards.
Right.
Every day I'm like, why to myself, why are you so awkward?
Tell
why
the story.
Why did you do X?
Oh my god, tell the story.
What there's so many.
Her?
What story? It's
about
fine.
Your Zoom meeting.
So obviously a lot of people are working from home and I had a Zoom meeting, like we just have a weekly Monday meeting, so I had a Zoom meeting. And all of a sudden I like look in the chat. None of us use video, it's just audio. And I look in the chat and I see my face. And I'm just like I'm confused because it's just me staring. And then I realize that as soon as I realize what happened, my boss is like, Katie, your video is on. Did you know that? And I was like, nope. And I looked like total trash.
It's so awkward. She's like, no.
And Meg laughed so hard she had to leave the room.
I really did. Because as soon as she got off the call, she's like, I look like garbage. I'm like, you really don't look that bad. You're fine.
As Steph in the chat
said. It makes me think of, like, that viral video of that guy that was on the work meeting. And then he, like, thought he logged off. And then he gets up and he, like, stands there drinking coffee in, like, the back of his room. He's in his underwear. And you can see all the other people. They're like, what?
Did you see the guy that was fully, like, he didn't have pants on and did, like, an interview on, like, ABC, like, one of the news channels? And you see, like, he's sitting there with his legs crossed, but he's in his underwear and, like, a nice button-down shirt and a tie and a suit jacket with no pants. I don't think he realized that you could see everything.
Oh my god.
As Steph said in the chat, quietly submits letter of resignation. Yeah, at that moment for sure.
Oh my gosh. All right, back to the episode though, but Lord. Thank you for sharing your moment of embarrassment. It really brought me joy.
I'm glad.
I needed it that day.
You're welcome.
I'm here to entertain. I legitimately did have to leave the room to go and laugh because she was still on the call. But okay. Oh god. So then Harry is like replaying the conversation in his head as he's going back to the common room, and he's like, you were really brave standing up to her like that. She had called him brave. She did not hate him for being alive. Of course, she had preferred Cedric. He knew that. Though if he'd only asked her to the ball before Cedric had, things might have turned out differently. She had seemed sincerely sorry that she had to refuse when Harry asked her. So he very brightly says good morning to Ron and Hermione in the Great Hall. And Ron is surprised, and Harry says he's just excited about Quidditch later. Which seems to make Ron deflate a little bit. He's nervous.
Mm-hmm. Ron is me in this chapter.
Yeah. Ron just needs confidence, but we'll get there. So he asks if Harry will go out a little early with him before training to get some practice. And I love that he trusts Harry like this, because you know at this moment, like, Ron feels pretty vulnerable to, like, the situation going in.
And they're at such a vulnerable age.
They
are. You
know
what I mean?
And, like, I get Harry's, like, his best friend, but I feel like sometimes, like, there are just certain things where it's, like, it's hard even to go to your best friend and ask for, like, help on something like
sometimes
this, you know?
Sometimes it's even harder with your best friend because, like, you know them so well and you're so close, you know?
Yeah. So Hermione tries to tell them, though, that she thinks that they shouldn't go because they're so behind on homework. But she broke off because the post arrived. So she opens up a prophet, and there is breaking wizard news in the prophet. The bass player from the Weird Sisters is getting married, everybody.
What?
Sorry, you lost your last chance.
Last chance gone. Taken.
Mazel tov to them.
So Harry happily eats breakfast while Ron looks up at the windows, and he seems quite preoccupied. Have they, like, swapped roles today? Because Ron's usually the one just munching, and Harry's usually the one brooding. But anyway, it's flip-flopped, so that's
brooding,
weird.
Brooding.
Oh my gosh. And then suddenly Hermione goes, oh no, Sirius. And Harry snatches the paper so fast that they literally rip it down the middle together, so they have to, like, hold it back together to read it. The Ministry of Magic has received a tip-off from a reliable source that Sirius Black, notorious mass murderer, blah, 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 is currently hiding in London. So Harry bets that it was Lucius, and he did recognize Sirius on the platform, just
that
like
Luscious.
They had feared.
Yep.
So the Ministry warns the wizarding community that Black is very dangerous, killed 13 people, broke out of Azkaban, the usual rubbish, Hermione concludes, and lays down her half of the paper. And looks fearfully at Harry and Ron and goes, well, he just won't be able to leave the house again, that's all. Dumbledore did warn him not to, which she's not wrong.
A man ain't lying when he says don't do it. You're welcome.
So Harry looks glumly at his half of the paper. Most of it's devoted to an ad for Madame Malkin's Robes for All Occasion, but there's more breaking wizard news. They're having a sale. So anybody, you know, if you need some robes, Madam Milken's up for business.
Snatch them up.
Snatch those robes. Snatch them.
Round them up.
Yep.
But then Harry goes, hey, flattening the paper down so Ron and Herm can both see. Look at this. And Ron is like, I've got all the robes I want. Which made me laugh. But Harry's like, no, this little piece. It was barely an inch long and placed right at the bottom of a column.
Guys, I'm so excited for this little tidbit of the Daily Prophet.
Tidbat.
This little tic-tac tidbit.
Tic-tac tidbat. Give a dog a bone.
All right, so trespass. At the Ministry today.
I'm done.
That, that was pretty good. All right. Trespass at the Ministry.
What?
Sturgis Podmore.
Oh my god.
38 of number 2, Laburnum Gardens, Clapham, has appeared in front of the Wizengamot, charged with trespass and attempted robbery at the Ministry of Magic on the 31st of August. Wait, Podmore was arrested by Ministry of Magic Watch Wizard Eric Munch!
Munch! Guys, he's the best!
Who found
he's so
him,
Bob's apron.
The real MVP. Who found him attempting to force his way through top security door at 1 o'clock in the morning. Thank you. Podmore, who refused to speak in his own defense, was convicted on both charges and sentenced to 6 months in Azkaban. So Ron is like, I remember him. He's the bloke who looks like his head's been thatched, isn't it? Ron, who are you? And he starts to be like, isn't he part of the order? And Hermione's like, shh, you can't be talking about that here in the Great Hall.
Shh.
So Harry's shocked. He's like 6 months for trying to get through a door. And Hermione's like, it's not for just getting through a door. Like, there's something going on. Like, what was he doing at the ministry at 1 o'clock in the morning? And Ron was like, well, maybe he's doing something for the order. And Harry's like, no, hold on. Wasn't Sturgis supposed to help us be part of the guard when we went to King's Cross? So, like, clearly he couldn't have been doing something for the order, because that's what he was supposed to be doing for the order, because Moody was annoyed he hadn't showed up.
Eric Munch yep. stopped him.
Right.
With a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
A punch that he slipped and then counter punched.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Give him a 1-2 slip.
1-2 slip.
Oh, my God.
1-2 slip, roll 2.
Fishing move 2. All right, so Ron...
Boxing workout jokes. Okay, go ahead.
Right? Yep. Ron's like, well, maybe it's a setup. And then he's like, hold on, like, hear me out. Because the other two are like, eh. He's like, think about it. The ministry suspects he's one of Dumbledore's, and they lured him to the ministry. He wasn't trying to get through a door at all. He was just made up to get to him. And Harry's like, that seems far-fetched. But Hermione, she looks impressed, and she's like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that was true. Yes.
I was just going to say, like, it does kind of fall perfectly into the narrative that the ministry is trying to portray right mm-hmm. now, you know? Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So she thinks on it for a while, all the way until Harry's done with breakfast, and then she goes right back into normal Hermione mode. She wants to tackle their homework. And Harry gets this little twinge of guilt, which I know all too well, because I'm a procrastinator, whenever he thinks about all his homework that he has to do. But, quote from the book, the sky was a clear, exhilarating blue, and he had not been on his firebolt all week. These are the excuses I make to myself. I haven't picked up my Switch yet today. I have to play it. And Ron is totally me. He's like, I mean, we could do it tonight. Even though Hermione, her warning was still ringing in their ears about how they were going to fail all their OWLs. And he's like, we've got tomorrow, too. She gets too worked up about work. That's her problem. But then he's like, wait, but do you actually think she meant we couldn't copy off of her?
I love how Harry's like, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Awkward turtle swimming in the pond.
Do turtles swim? Or do yes. they just turtle?
They turtle.
Oh, you're right. They do turtle.
Yeah, so Harry's like to Ron, broski, for sure she's not going to let you copy her homework. Because she doesn't like Quidditch, even though Quidditch is awesome, and she's not, which is a lie, because she is pretty awesome.
She's basically, so awesome. Like,
yeah, homework is important, but you know what else is? Quidditch, because we need to practice if we want to stay on the team.
Yep.
But it's true, though. Like, you do need some exercise. And Harry's had a rough week, so, like, he can skive off of homework for a little bit to play some Quidditch. So they're walking to the pitch, and Harry's kind of, like, looking towards the forest that's forbidden. He's kind of expecting to see Thestrals, but he doesn't know that that's their name, coming out of the trees. So what are we calling them? The winged horses?
Pterodactyls.
Pterodactyl horses.
The pterodactyls.
Pterodactyls.
Don't you put that...
So they get the balls out of the little carriage. What is it called? Like a box?
A chest. Like,
where is the chest? That's the word I'm looking for.
A box.
They're in a box. And they take the balls out. They go on their broomsticks and they fly around. And Harry throws the balls at Ron. And Ron's got to stop him before they go through the hoops. That's Quidditch, all right? There's some points involved, but they don't matter because you just catch the snitch and you win the game. So Harry helps Ron practice keeping the goals while Harry plays chaser. And after a while, like, and he does say, like, he gets better with time, like Ron does. And really, his biggest thing that he is not a great player is because he doesn't have enough confidence in himself. Because he could be great.
Yes.
We see later on he wins stuff. But they then decide to take a little break for lunch to have some snickety snacks in the Great Hall. And then they return to the pitch for the real Quidditch practice with the team afterwards. And the whole team is there, obviously, because it's team practice. And Angelina will hunt down everybody that you've ever been related to if you don't show up. Knows where you live. Been now more nervous with his brothers there, and you know the rest of the team. And then Angelina then tells them, "Hey, I'm just letting you know." They're like getting ready, they're like getting changed or whatever. She's like, "There, we do have an audience, but I just ignore them." And Harry's like, "Oh, I know who she's talking about. Just by the way that she said it, he's like, it's probably going to be those Slytherins, I like that. I think I want to say Sly Guys, but I don't." And things I want to say, but I can't. So they do go out, and yeah, it is Malfoy and his crew of Slytherin Quidditch team people, and some other people that aren't on the team, like Pansy and, you know, Crabbe and Goyle. And of course, Malfoy then teases Ron about his broomstick, and then he's making him more nervous. And Harry kind of tells him, and he says it out loud, mostly for Ron's benefit, but everyone else. Just to ignore them, and you know, we're gonna make sure that we'll show them who's laughing at the end of practice. And Angelina's like, "Yeah, that's the spirit. Come on, blah blah blah." And I lost my place. And then Pansy tries to make Angelina for her hair because I think Angelina's black, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She might have something in her hair, which
I think she has dreads.
Yeah, she's got some type
dreads
of
dreads. Or her.
Totally looks amazing. Mm-hmm. And then they begin their practice. And so what they start off doing is they're tossing the quaffle to each other. They're like basically I think in a circle. I don't know why I find this funny. And so Harry passes it to Ron. Ron drops it and he dives to pick it back up. He's of course blushing. They continue to pass the ball around. Malfoy then decides to ask Harry from the stands if his scar's been hurting him. And he's like, "I'm surprised that you haven't been in the hospital wing all week. That's very unlike you," basically, is what he says to him.
Malfoy, get out.
Like, Harry, you want me to put you in the hospital wing, bud? Dude. Hey, Dad, you want me to, like, put you right in the hospital wing?
So then the ball goes around again. Harry catches it just by, like, the finger. Nope, I was going to say the fingers of his tips.
Your defense, you do that with everything.
I know.
So it's probably natural to you now.
So then he throws it to Ron, who, misses it again by, and it said in the book, like, a few inches or like some inches. So it wasn't like, you know, it just had like slipped out of his hands because he's Butterfingers, but like he wasn't even in range. Angelina, not pleased. And she literally tells Ron, like, "You need to pay attention." And so like Ron has to go obviously and get the ball again. So he goes, he gets the quaffle, and then he comes back up. It says in the book that they're basically like the same shade of scarlet. And you know, then he did third time around, it's third time's the charm. Ron finally catches it. And then he throws it to Katie Bell, and this is not funny. And it hits her right in the face.
That's me, he, like, man.
Like really sorry, like he didn't mean to hit her in the face. So he moves closer. Angelina tells him, like, yells at him, like, to no, like, stay in your spot. She's fine. And then it kind of goes to Katie, and Katie's nose is bleeding. And then Fred, it's like Fred and George, like, kind of go by her, and he gives her something small and purple, tells her to take it, and it'll clear her nosebleed up in no time. And not that they're strangers, but like, don't take things you don't know they're in someone's pocket.
Truth, man.
I mean, specifically in this case, it's not a good thing. But yeah, don't, it's weird. Don't do that. So then Angelina's like, all right, so now we're going to like really practice, like get the rest of the balls out. Everyone go to their like spots. And we're going to play, man.
Sports ball.
And
so
what they're going to do. It's sports. They're playing sports. athletic teams. And so they're just going to have, like, obviously use, like, one half of the pitch. So, like, whatever goal posts Ron is guarding, like, that's the side they're going to play on. Besides, the snitch is going to do what the snitch wants. And then I'm going to read a pitch. And it says, this is George speaking. Ron's making a right pig's ear of things, isn't he? Muttered George as the three of them landed at the crate containing the balls and opened it to extract one of the bludgers and the snitch.
Oh, it's a crate.
Chest, trunk, whatever.
He's just nervous, said Harry. He was fine when I was practicing with him this morning. Yeah, well, I hope he hasn't peaked too soon, said Fred gloomily. And, like, rereading, like, this part, because earlier, when Ron is, like, not doing so well catching the ball, like, Harry notices, like, Fred and George aren't even making fun of him, and he's, like, glad for it, because, like, Ron is really, like, I think upsetting himself, and, like, obviously we've talked about him not having confidence, and, like, this just makes me think of, yeah, like, they're siblings, and, like, Fred and George, like, you know, they make fun of, like, everybody makes fun of everybody, you know, in this family, and at this point in time, like, they pick and choose their battles, so, like, right now, when, like, Fred's talking, like, gloomily, I think part of it is, yeah, like, he is, like, hoping, because they all want to win their Quidditch team, but, like, he also doesn't want his brother to fail, you know what I mean? So, like, he's also, in my mind, probably, like, upset that, like, he knows that Ron can do better, because, like, obviously they've played Quidditch together for years, so he knows his true potential, and he just needs more confidence.
Yeah.
So, they just make me think of my game, because that's things we do.
Even, like, playing in front of Harry probably makes him a little bit nervous, you know? Because Harry is really, really good, you know, and his, you know, being the first, like, first year in however long to be on a team and stuff like that, like, but we all know.
But, like, he practiced with him earlier, you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to point out that, like, I think that I like that they haven't, like, made fun of him, but I think it's more so because, like, they know
how serious it is for him. Yeah.
And I think they all want, obviously, like, besides their Quidditch team winning, they all want him to do well, and I think they know that he can do well. He just needs the confidence.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then Angelina blows her whistle, so then Harry lets go of the snitch, and then he kind of just almost blocks everything else out and is focusing on that, and basically nothing else, but shortly after she blows the whistle again, basically because Ron is not covering the middle, or isn't covering the middle post, and so it looks like Ron is only covering, like, the left-hand hoop, and not the other one, so then she kind of gives him feedback, saying, like, you should stay in front of the center hoop, and then you only move if you have to cover the other ones, like, just kind of, like, obviously you're on a broomstick, so, like, hover, but, like, make sure you're ready to move at, like, a moment's notice, but, like, you're also hovering, so you're, like, in motion, kind of, I don't know.
Like a goalie?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's hard to, like, you know, you got to kind of stay, like, on the balls of your feet, but, like, mm-hmm. His feet aren't touching, but air.
Fast feet.
So she also wants Katie to do something about her nosebleed, but it won't stop bleeding. And she's like, it's just getting worse, is what Katie is saying. I'm sorry, Katie, that your nose is bleeding.
It's okay. Thank you.
So then Harry glanced around at Fred, who was looking anxious and checking his pockets. He saw Fred pull out something purple, examine it for a second, then look around at Katie, evidently horror-struck.
Can you imagine him making this face? You know that's serious business, yeah. If he looks horror-struck.
Every time I read his name, I think about the fact that his name is said more in the series than George's.
It is.
Like, I wonder if she did that on purpose, because she knew she was going to, like...
Wasn't she going to kill Arthur and then decided against it?
No, it was Arthur Remus.
Oh. Got it.
So, you know, those cool people called the Slytherins are chanting, Gryffindor are losers, Gryffindors are losers. And I said, like, the Gryffindor team basically, like, doesn't lose, is what I was supposed to write. Most they play, especially with Harry on the team. So I'm just, like, just saying.
Okay. Gryffindors are losers. Gryffindors are losers.
What a thing to chant. Like, rude. Can you come up with something that's too wordy?
Lame. Second of all, it's like you're sad that you can't beat them in a game.
Word.
Word.
Go Claws. Just
you
all
could
I'm
say Gryffindor. Gryffindors are mediocre. Gryffindors yes. are mediocre
at best. Gryffindors are mediocre at best.
Nothing. Nothing.
Or nothing.
Oh goodness.
Anywho, so they start to play again, but again, it's shut court by shut. Nope. It is cut short by the dreaded whistle because of Katie. Because Ron or Harry's like, "What is it this time?" He said to like Alicia. It's like it's Katie. Katie, you're ruining his Quidditch practice.
You're
and he doesn't
ruining
appreciate it.
It.
I'm a
it is ruined.
Quidditch player.
Ruined.
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 So another little slip from the book, and it says, Harry turned and saw Angelina, Fred, and George all flying as fast as they could towards Katie. Harry and Alicia sped toward her, too. It was plain that Alicia had stopped turning just in time. Katie was now chalk white and covered in blood.
Cripes, girl, go to the hospital wing.
She just has to eat a different candy.
Well, when Fred noticed it, why wasn't he like, whoa,
why did
wrong
he give
one.
Her the other candy?
Yes.
Maybe he thought it was going to stop.
Should
somebody. Obviously, Katie Bell needs to go to the hospital wing. And then the twins are like, we'll take her. And they say, like, she might have swallowed a blood blister pod by mistake. And this basically ends the Quidditch practice because with three of their people out, like, there's no point in trying to train or practice or whatever the word I'm looking for is. So they go and get changed, all while the Slytherins continued their oh, so clever chanting about Gryffindors are losers. And I looked up blood blister pod on the good old Le Google, and then on the wikibooks.org, this is what it says. A blood blister pod is a purple pod which either causes uncontrollable bleeding or, if bleeding is already occurring, prevents it from stopping. And then it talks about how Ron hit Katie in the face with the ball. And Fred gave her the thing that her nose wouldn't stop bleeding. And it says the fact that Ron is carrying a pocket full of blood blister pods would indicate that they are a vital component of some part of the Skiving snack box line. Most likely the nosebleed nougat. Knowing the twins, they are also quite possibly untradeable magical substances under the law, which would explain why we only see them once. Interesting. And like I was thinking about this while I was writing my notes earlier, because like the piece of the purple stuff that they eat or whatever color they eat for it to stop bleeding, like I wonder if that could be like used to like help people with like wounds. Yeah. Or like if you have internal, like just take this snack and then the bleeding stops.
Guys, see, bottom line, snacks cure everything.
I was kind of thinking about that with the Weasley twins for a while, like all these things that they've created. And then you think about like what they did for the ministry during the war. They like created things for the ministry, didn't they? They said something about how like the ministry placed an order for all of the aurors for something that they had created. This was like in, I can't remember exactly when, but.
That's awesome.
It's whenever they pull Harry into the stock room when they're visiting Weasley Wizard Weezes. Mm-hmm. And they say it's like a helmet or something. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, it's like just super cool.
Shield charm.
Something like that, yeah. It's just so cool how like, yeah, these are just like sweets and tricks, but like they're legitimately useful for other things as well. And like really they're so smart. They're basically just inventors of all kinds of like crazy things that end up being super useful.
Yeah, it's Harry uses one at the ministry when he's trying to go get into Umbridge's office.
Yeah, the decoy detonator.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Peruvian instant darkness pod.
He uses that to try to talk to Malfoy or talk to Malfoy over here, Malfoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
It's time.
For the lightning bolt. Is that what a lightning bolt sounds like?
Pew, 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 pew.
That is what a lightning bolt sounds like.
According to Dr. Seuss, boom, boom, boom. Mr. Brown is a wonder. Boom, 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 Mr. Brown makes thunder. He makes lightning, splat, 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 and it's very, very hard to make a noise like that.
Splat, splat, splat.
All right, give them to us.
All right. Vinny asks, what would be your secret letter code name?
Snack attack.
So fast. I don't know.
I want to say Sasa, but everyone knows it's me.
Florence.
But everyone knows it's me,
everyone
too.
Everyone knows it, sir.
Bud.
You could say Suzanne.
Suzanne.
I know what I would be. T-Roy.
T-Roy.
That's your name in my phone. T-Roy.
Megs would be Lily.
Dr. Regina Phalange.
Lily. I'd be Lily.
Ken Adams.
Lily. I can't stand you.
Ken Adams. I'm going to be Holden McGroin.
Oh. I pee freely.
What?
I pee freely.
Y'all.
Seymour Butts. I will
say the Ken Adams episode is probably my top five. One of my top five.
I don't think we've seen that.
We have not.
The next question comes from Emily. Would you have been able to write a good coded letter? It would have taken me a while, but I would have been able to figure out how to do it.
I would have been like, how's the thing at the place?
Katie.
So when I was in college, my best friend now, Jen, and I, we used to speak in code, but we would use like Greek letters, but like spell it out. So like we had a whole system, and I don't know if we can do it now, but like, so we could talk freely, like in an open room, and like you just would have to figure out like what words we were spelling out. And her big Lori used to get so mad at us. And we're like, you know these Greek letters. Like, it's not that difficult. It's just, like, we didn't want to, like, whatever we were talking about. Yeah, so that's what we used to do. Literally all the time. Oh, good times.
Katie, did you say if you would be able to?
I'd be terrible.
Oh. Kelly asks, was Sturgis Podmore actually trying to get through the door, or was Ron right?
I think Ron was right.
Well, I think he was imperious, wasn't he? Isn't that what we find out later?
Yeah.
He was legitimately trying to get... Like, it's kind of like both instances are correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to my life, seeing both sides of everything.
Oh, my word.
It's true.
Is that all we got?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man. That's
Anybody
short.
Else have any questions? Amongst the chat, amongst us.
What color would you want your blood blister to be?
Purple. I mean, it's the coolest.
Right, what are the colors other than purple? No, I'm just kidding.
I would probably have red? Like a maroon.
Yeah.
Like a ox blood color, to be honest with you.
Oh.
It seems fitting for the name.
Okay. All right.
I could get on board with that.
Oh, goodness.
Emily asks, what Lego set would you buy if you could only have one of the new ones?
Tower.
The Burrow.
Tower of Terror. I don't do Legos because I don't have the patience for it. So none of them. I'd save my money and buy a pair of shoes.
Because I don't know how blocks work.
I would get the Privet Drive one. I think it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
They're all coming in now.
And if Katie got the Burrow one, then, like, we kind of get two.
So all of a sudden, we get to the lightning bolt round, and all Discorders are like, wait a minute, I forgot.
Oh, my Lanta. This is what happens when it becomes Swish and Sip.
Yep.
You don't even know.
All right, Mia.
You don't even know.
Girl.
Mia
asks, would you try out for Quidditch?
Heck no.
I would suck.
I would stay away from the undertow. Heck no.
Muscle.
I always think about the fact that I thought the undertow was a real monster. But yeah. I probably would. I tried out for, or maybe I didn't try out for volleyball in high school. I didn't try out. I did a lacrosse camp.
Oh, okay.
And I liked it, but I didn't. And I, like, kept going like this. She's like, they're not going anywhere. Like, you just gotta be, like, more loose. I played basketball in grade school, and I hated it. I played volleyball for, like, 3 years in grade school, and I did like it, but...
That's cool.
Courtney asks, would you have snatched the paper as hard as Harry?
I can totally see that happening in the meme. You're just dying laughing.
I know.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have been like, gimme.
Ow.
Sorry. I was overzealous.
Katie, your ow was so fake.
Ow.
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 I could be saying this wrong, but Brona, do you think the two blister pods and the nosebleed nougat were the same color? I'm assuming they're slightly different, and that's why he realizes, oh, shoot. Yeah.
Like a dark purple and then a slightly lighter purple?
Yeah, like very close. Like
a lilac and a violet?
Yes.
As Sasa would say, shoot the shooters.
Yep.
Vinny asks, have you ever been as awkward as Harry was with Cho with someone?
Oh, yeah.
My entire life.
Yeah.
That time I met Benji Madden was pretty frickin' awkward.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
That was the worst moment of my life.
She touched his hand because he had tattoos.
Shut up.
I was at... Go ahead.
I was at a wedding that... It was, like, someone from high school. God, it was so long ago. So it was, like, someone from high school that I, like, loosely still talk to. So Marty and I went. And then we, like, saw people that I had literally not talked to in years. And I was so awkward. And, like, we had this whole conversation. And then they got up to, like, go, like, dance or something. And he looked at me and I looked at him. And I was like, I don't even know what to do. He's like, yeah, I can tell. Usually I'm pretty good at like carrying on conversation, but I like had nothing to talk to these people about. It was so weird.
I remember go ahead.
I was going to say when I was in high school, it was our senior year and Panic at the Disco was playing at the Tower City Amphitheater.
Good show.
And Bridget had promised us, cause we had seen them in Chicago, and like when I say like when we were in the last row, like I'm not exaggerating, like behind me was a wall, like that's how far back we were. And like you couldn't even see them on like, and I don't really care, like I don't need to be in the first row because like I don't need to look at you, I just am here for the music. But we even couldn't see like them on the screen because like the bar coming down from the ceiling was blocking it. So we went to the Tower City Amphitheater, and this girl that we went to high school with had won tickets on the radio, like was in class. I was with her in class when she like wouldn't get off her phone because she was in line to get tickets. Won tickets and like backstage passes to meet them.
Dang.
And Bridget and Maya and I like saw her and we're like, hey, like however, and she was with another girl that we went to school with who like I've known, have conversed with, could not remember her name. And so I was like talking to them and I was like introducing them. I'm like, this is Jill and
who was it?
I don't remember her name too.
Oh my god.
All I remember is like when I was on my Kairos retreat, Jill and I roomed together. And this is why I say this, you know that old commercial that was like the girl talking to on a fake phone. She didn't have a phone. She wanted a phone, like a cell phone, and she's talking to her BFF Jill. She's like, I don't know, IDK, my BFF Jill.
Yeah.
So she'd be like, IDK, my BFF me. And then she'd laugh, she goes, get it? Because I'm Jill.
Oh my gosh.
She was one of the funniest people, like, I went to school. She was very funny. But yeah. I could see the girl's face. It might have been Katie. I don't think it was. I think it might have began with a K or a C or something.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah. Yeah, they met Panic at the Disco before they all broke up. I think it was Panic at the Disco. And then
yeah,
you know who opened
I think it was
them?
Because we were there too.
Yeah.
Who was the band that did the opening for
The Hush Sound?
Are they the ones that did, I think it's the OC. It was the OC
remember.
Or what's the other show? With like Peyton and Brooke and
oh,
Lucas.
Oh god.
Oh, come on. Discord's going.
One Tree Hill, thank you. Thank
there it
you.
Is.
One Tree Hill. It might have been the opening to them, because they opened that that concert.
That
also
was a good show.
That was the first, I wouldn't really call it a mosh pit that I was ever in, and that is the only one I will ever be in.
That was the most terrifying mosh pit I've ever been in.
Yep.
For Panic at the Disco. Like, what the heck happened?
I don't like people touching me, and it was not a cold day. Like, I had a
The whole
North
crowd
Bay
fell over. The whole crowd what? Fell over yep. when we were in it.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh my god, fell over on top of each other. It was terrifying.
Dude, this one woman was like, get really had hurt. Her daughter, like, in the front, like, on, like, by the bars or whatever, and she was, like, getting mad that, like, people were squashing them, and she's trying to talk to security, and the security guy's like, what do you want? Like, this is what happens. Like, I'm not, people are gonna push you. But I just remember, like, it was so hot out, but I literally would not take my jacket off because sweaty people were all around me, and I didn't want them touching me. And I was like, yeah, next time I'll just stand back. But we had a good time.
My story's not as cool as that, but I was
sorry.
No, it's fine. I was at work, and I, like, ran into
someone. I was on this Zoom call at work.
Right, yeah. No, all my awkward things are at work. I was at work, and I was, I don't know, conversing with someone quickly, like, passing in the hallway, and my words got all confused, and they said something to me, and I just said, thank, and just kept going. So weird.
I remember you telling me
it
about
was
that.
Horrible.
I have another funny story, but this one's not about me. This is about my mom.
Oh Lord,
go for it.
This was years ago when she still worked at the other hospital, the first hospital I ever worked at. And I come from a family of, like, a lot of people work in the same place. Well, my uncle's ex-wife worked at this one hospital, and his new wife was working at the one that we were all working at. And my mom saw her the one day, and she goes, hi, Patty, how are you? That's first wife's name. She couldn't remember. They've been divorced since I was, like, a little kid. And and he had been married to Roseanne for maybe, like, 10 years by now, maybe longer. So it's not like they were newly in her life. Like, she's talked to Roseanne.
Oh, my
gosh. Spent time with her. Couldn't remember her name. And the best part is she did this not once but twice with her.
Oh my god.
And she was like, yeah, she was not pleased. And, like, both all of my cousins and my uncle, they thought it was hilarious that, like, she called her Patty. And she's like, I'm sorry, like, couldn't remember that her name was Roseanne.
That's
and it
funny.
Still makes me laugh to this day.
That makes me think of what I did for years. So I have a list of people I send Christmas cards to, right? No idea why, but my uncle, when I was growing up, so, like, a long time ago, dated somebody named Linda. And my grandpa, after my grandma passed away, remarried to a woman named Linda. Two opposite sides of the family. Well, it turns out I had been addressing my uncle's Christmas card to Linda instead of his real wife's name, Lisa. So I had been addressing the card to him and his ex-girlfriend from, like, 25 years ago.
Oh, my
for
God.
For, like, 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my
gosh.
It was so dumb. And I know her name is Lisa, but it was, you know, to Linda.
It happens.
Did they not say anything?
No! My mom had to be like, wait a minute, who's this? And I was like, what?
Oh, so my gosh.
It was out of control.
I don't have any good awkward stories. I don't really remember anything
yeah, you
ever.
Do.
What?
You walked into a grocery store one time, and you went up to this old lady, and you were like, oh, hi, Aunt Terry! Lady turned around. Not Aunt Terry.
I forgot about that.
Aww.
I was so sure that was my aunt.
Meg didn't even say sorry. She just turned around and walked away.
I was so embarrassed. There's this little old lady, too. She was probably so confused. Oh, man. All right. That's all we got. Go to the fan story, Kate.
Okay.
Yep.
Fan story. So this week comes from Janelle Schultz.
Ooh, Janelle.
You are a fantastic human being. And your cat's super cute. Special shout out to Loki. Okay.
Meow.
I've been a listener for over a year now, and I think it's about time I share my Potter story. I'm Janelle. I'm a proud Hufflepuff with some Slytherin tendencies. My Ilvermorny house is Puckwudgie. My wand is Holly with a phoenix feather core 13 inches in length. and reasonably supple flexibility. That's pretty close to Harry's.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's Harry's length?
I don't know.
Someone 9 3/4.
Large. It ain't. That's what mine is.
It ain't.
I don't know.
My Patronus. I'm
Googling it. Go for it.
My Patronus is a doe. Oh, and my favorite character is Tonks. I vividly remember the day I was introduced to the wonderful world of Potter. On the way to lunch. Yes.
Harry's is 11.
Close. So basically the same wand, minus 2 inches. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. You are Harry Potter. On the way to lunch, my fourth grade teacher announced that she would begin reading this Harry Potter book to us. One of my classmates explained that it was a story about a boy who finds out he is a wizard and goes to a wizarding school, to which I replied, "That sounds dumb." Needless to say, I could not have been more wrong. I fell in love with the story and the characters during the first few chapters and ended up purchasing it for myself and reading it before we finished it as a class. I was one of the lucky ones who grew up with the characters, bought every book as it came out, and saw every movie in theaters. Once I even convinced my youth pastor to take my youth group to the theater because we were on a week-long mission trip when Half-Blood Prince came out and I was not about to miss opening week.
I so feel that on a personal level.
Yep.
I did that.
I know.
But for the book.
The sixth book?
The sixth book.
That's awesome. Growing up, I always felt like the outcast and the weird one of my friends. I tried very hard to be someone else to fit in with the popular crowd, but I never managed to be successful. As I got older, even though I was slowly beginning to become comfortable showing bits and pieces of my true personality, I still hid parts of who I was to keep from being rejected by the people I wanted so desperately to be friends with. Fast forward to 2012, when I decided to move across the country by myself for grad school, to a city where I didn't know a single soul. I decided to reread the series for fun, not realizing the huge impact it would have on the next few years. I was again having trouble finding a place where I felt I belonged, and struggled a lot with anxiety, depression, and stressful friendships. So despite my anxiety surrounding social interactions and trying new things, I decided to join a Harry Potter meetup group, which eventually evolved into a Quidditch team. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I instantly found amazing people and finally felt like I was completely accepted for who I was. They made me feel like I mattered and that I could be loved just as I am. They gave me the courage to be myself in other settings, which allowed me to build positive relationships with new friends and to leave toxic friendships behind. Since that time, I have found myself rereading the books during times of stress and big transitions. I have had so many amazing friends out of a mutual love for Harry Potter and have stopped trying to be someone I'm not. I guess, while the story and the characters hold a special place in my heart, it is the fandom community that has had the biggest impact on my life. I came across Swish and Flick during a stressful time of my life. I was living in a new city, again, still attempting to complete grad school, had very few friends, and had just started a 7-hour road trip to attend the funeral of a college teammate. That's sad, I'm sorry. But the friendship between you ladies and your love for Harry Potter gave me hope that I could get through that situation and that I could find my community again. While I'm still working on finding my people locally, I have been able to form wonderful friendships within the Swisher community, and I am so grateful to have this platform to feel that sense of belonging that I need. To the four of you, thank you so much. Keep being good humans, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Mm. Thank you, Janelle.
Yes, thank you so much.
Janelle, that's the sweetest. And also, I resonate super hard with that because not even intentionally knowing, I fought against, like, me, myself, and I, and then realized one day why I am doing this, and, like, now I'm me, and I'm so much better for it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think she's working on her dissertation.
Yes.
For school. Yeah.
She is.
So good luck with that. I remember my mom going through that. And while she was much nicer going through that than when she was getting her master's degree, it was still difficult. So good luck to you. I know you're going to do amazing. And hopefully it's over and goes quickly and easily.
Yes, for sure. You got this.
Sure. Tell me a joke, because you're the best.
All right, I got to get my pencil.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Why are you crying?
You okay?
What does Alana say?
Okay, mommy, okay? Mama sad?
My family would make fun of me because I never told that joke right. I would always say, boo, don't cry. As a small child. Okay.
And when she says small child, she means last year.
Right, pretty much. Question of the week. I mean, joke of the week. What would have happened had Harry not found the golden egg in time at the Triwizard Tournament?
It would have hatched.
No, he would have been exterminated.
Exterminate.
God. Remember all the stupid eggs in Animal Crossing for so long?
I don't. It's a matter of fact.
For so long. Marty doesn't even play the game. And the one day I was fishing and I pulled up an egg and he goes, "Man, I'm sick of these eggs."
So true.
Can you do it in your Harry Potter voice and say that?
"Oh man, I'm sick of these eggs."
You want to hear a funny story about eggs? So the other day, I went to go, and when I say other day, I think it was yesterday. I made myself an egg sammy with a bagel and some provolone cheese. And I went to crack the egg over the thing to roast it. And I'm trying to, the pan is what I'm trying to think of. And clearly my brain, to fry the egg, basically. And I crack it. And like, normally when you crack the egg a little bit, you know, obviously like it'll kind of pop open. Well, this one didn't. So I was like, whatever. So I cracked it again and realized that I had taken two hard boiled eggs out. I was like, oh. So then I had to like get the other eggs out to make my fried egg like bagel sandwich. So I had to like brew, and then I had to eat, like, I wasn't gonna just leave it there. And like, I knew they were like a couple days like sitting in the fridge for a couple of days. That was the easiest me. I've ever like taken, peeled an egg ever, like a hard boiled egg.
That and would have confused me so bad. I could just picture myself like hitting it and like, being what like, heck? What is wrong with this egg?
Oh, like I hit it, I cracked it twice, and then I'm like, oh, and I'm like, this is funny. And like, my dad saw me do this, didn't say anything to me. It wasn't like, hey, I boiled those, because I know it was him that did it. Like, what the heck? So I had to like rearrange to get the other eggs out. And that was quite a good sandwich, if I'm not being honest.
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking of trying to make bagels. But anyway, let's get to social media and then we can talk about our lives. So you can find us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. You can follow all of your hosts on some form of social media. Katie and myself are on Twitter and Instagram at The Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Twitter and Instagram at TiffSwish_Flick. And Sarah is on Instagram at O'Malley with three H's.
O'Malley.
Excuse me. O'Malley.
So we love doing stories on Instagram, and we tend to go live before episodes, so make sure that you turn on alerts for us so that you can join in on the fun. Also, if you love us and we love you, and the answer to that is we do, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/swishflickcast. Patreon allows us to do our Phoenix Plus boxes. It allows us to send you guys fun sticker packs. It allows us to get the proper equipment that we need.
Launch new merch.
Keep our podcast live. Keep our website live. Basically, it helps keep Swish running, and we super appreciate every single person that's a patron. We appreciate the people that can't be patrons, too. You guys are awesome. We love all of our listeners. But if you are so inclined to support us, you can donate anywhere from $2 up to $25, and each level gives you different things. So just read through those, and you can choose the one that fits you the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bam.
Tiffany, tell me what you do win.
Tell me something good.
Well. So, I'm on almost done with week 4 of the boxing program that we've been doing.
Yes.
I absolutely love it.
Yes.
I'm going to do another round when I'm done. It's 6 weeks long. So I've been killing that. I am listening to Order on basically high speed. I love it so much.
I had a great birthday. I got a lot of very fun things, like a new fire pit and outdoor furniture, which was cool, and a new desk, which was awesome. I also started playing...
Do I need to get a husband? Because I didn't get anything for my birthday.
Sorry. No, and I've been playing Breath of the Wild again and still playing Animal Crossing with my friends. It's been a lot of fun. That's it.
I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. I've been working from home. I've been loving it. We've been doing the boxing workout with Tiffany. We kind of stepped off the yoga bandwagon, not because like we don't like it, but just it's a lot to even set aside time for one workout a day, let alone two. So we've just been doing the boxing. And I think that I'm gonna start playing Zelda.
Hear that, Tiffany?
So
I'm so excited.
I've asked for Zelda and the guidebook for my birthday.
What are you winking at me for? You got something in your eye?
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm grateful for how good I feel mentally right now during this crazy time. So,
yeah. I've also been playing a lot of Animal Crossing, trying to be a better me. Doing that on my own for myself with like exercise. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better cat mom. I just want to do things good.
Yeah.
Our cats have been loving us so much.
Me and Ted took a 5-minute feather stick break today and it was awesome.
They played feather stick. It was very cute.
Feather stick.
We've been bird watching with Iggy.
Mm-hmm. Follow our Instagram for the
Iggy
bird updates.
Has been cuddling with us on a daily basis, which was not a thing that he did prior to us working from home. So I think that he has a newfound love for us, and I'm here awesome. For it.
Yeah, I'm totally here for it. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much just working on me, myself, and I, and just trying to get life together.
Figuring out life. Where are we going to move? What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Where are we going to go?
We've got 2 months.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Yeah. But other than that, it's cool.
No, I mean, it's been awesome, but... like, doing the same workout as you guys. I sent them a progress picture. What was that? Monday?
Tiffany.
Or whatever? Dude.
Gains.
Shredding.
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 Yeah.
I'm proud of you. Proud of you. Proud of me. Thanks. Proud of all of us.
Proud of you.
Sasa.
I'm proud of you for going to work and being an essential worker.
That's right, girl.
Honestly, I love going to work to talk to people that aren't my family. Because I need that social interaction at least some part of my life. But besides going to work during this time, I actually had a wonderful birthday. My cousin stopped over and brought me tacos. And so we ate tacos and drank margaritas, literally, like, on each separate side of my porch. And her mom drove by with her baby so I could see her, because I haven't seen her in, like, forever. But she was sleeping, so I, like, waved at her through the car window. But I had a nice birthday, all things. And, you know, everything happens for a reason, so I was supposed to be home, you know. And then I've built a lot of things. I built a desk, I built a desk chair, and I built a piano during this quarantine. And so my mom has wanted a piano for literally years, and we had one when I was a kid, but like I think it stopped working. I don't really remember, because like we got rid of it when I was like super young. And so ever since then she's wanted a piano, because she wants to learn to play the piano. And now it's turned into the two of us are learning to play the piano, but I'm still like, I still don't know.
It's hard to get the both hands. Like, it's one thing to do one hand, but then once you start learning two at once, you're like, whoa, that's whenever I was like, I'm out.
I can play Twinkle Twinkle, which Alana loves. So, like, we'll FaceTime so she can I told him, I'm like, my mom bought another book. We have two books that we're kind of learning from. And I don't ever need to be like a concert pianist, but like having my niece being like, play Twinkle Twinkle, play Row Row Row, which I taught her that song. So like, yeah. And then what else do I play? Did I play for her? I could play Twinkle Twinkle like pretty well, and like I could do it without looking at the book. I can play like, is it I have a dreidel? I don't know. I call it the dreidel, dreidel, dreidel song, which is what it's called. But I can play that decently well. There's a couple other songs that I'm, Frère Jacques, I'm pretty good at. So I'm slowly learning, not super well. Oh, and then there's like a Star Wars bit of a song that I can play. The part that's like, that's all I can play. Like, I don't know what the last two da-na notes are. But it's been, honestly, it's been like a lot of fun. And like, since when I'm home during the week, my dad's also home, because like he's the only one in my family that's working from home, because all of us have jobs where like we have to go in. And like, I'm not gonna play while he like is doing work calls all day. So like, I only played on the weekends with my mom. But we have a good time, and all we do is really we laugh. Because it started out with us trying to play Heart and Soul, and now it's evolved. And she just got a new book in yesterday, so we'll be playing that this weekend. So we'll probably be playing it on Sunday.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and that's pretty much my life.
Alana calls it piano.
Yeah, she's so cute. She thinks it's her piano. But like I've been trying to pay off my credit cards, you know, just being an adult, because I'm in my 30s now and everything hurts. Literally, I have a crink in my neck today.
Meg picked me up today, just like jokingly, and I was like, "Ugh, my back." She's like, "Oh my god, I'm sorry. Are you okay?"
Yeah, like my sleeping's been off. I had it wasn't a horrible dream. It just is like a very vivid dream that has stuck with me that I had last night. But I actually slept for a good long time versus like the night before when I only slept for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, longer than that. Maybe 5. I don't know. This is 30, man.
I'm almost there. Will I be 30 almost when this one comes out? There. No, I don't think so.
I don't really know.
I feel might be great. I don't know about you people.
No, I'm just like super tired all the time, but honestly, it's my thyroid stuff, so like.
True.
Life.
That's true.
Life, man.
Dig it.
I need a snack.
If everybody could send just like good vibes to me when this episode comes out.
Yes, babe.
Because I think that I'll be making a really huge change in my life, and it's scary, but a good thing.
She's leaving Katie.
She's moving
never.
In my face.
Don't you love that I said she's leaving Katie for Tiffany, and you're like, she's moving in my basement?
Why do you think we're so synced up in this episode? Pterodactyl yells at the same time? Come on. You knew it was coming.
I'm also probably going to bleach my hair again by the time this episode comes out.
I don't want to talk to her.
And I'm having brunch on Sunday with my friends. We're going to get all dressed up, and we're going to Skype each. Well, we're probably going to Zoom or like Google Hangout or something. And we're going to eat food and be cute, because we would do that pre this coming out, but like actually be together.
That's cute.
All right. Was that all for the greater good?
Yeah.
I don't like saying for the greater good.
For the best of the best.
For the best of the best.
Let's go back to for Voldemort and Valor.
No, man.
Yeah, no, that's better. For Grindelwald and goodness. Make a
How
G.
do you make a G? Like that. Ah!
It would be like this.
What's the word for G? Or letter G?
Yeah, no one knows what you're saying.
Oh, she's signing. She's signing.
I don't know.
What? Oh my gosh.
It's just all thought of. It made her move.
so fast.
It was like fast forwarding through everything that you did.
Oh my gosh.
But I just these are my full glasses.
Oh
and
my
god. Another half friend.
You're great. For butterflies and butter beers, everyone.
Yeah.
For bow truckles and butter beers.
I don't care.
Hey.
I don't care for butter stuff.
Oh my god.
For fire whiskey and friends.
Yeah.
Okay, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just in my voice!
We cannot start. I do not have a verb! Alright, are we ready, Freddy's?
Yes, Iggy ready. Says hi to everybody, just so
hello,
you guys know.
Hello, Iggy. Here we go.
Tiffany said hi.
Okay, I'm ready.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.